Hi there, listener. It's Matthew. You've come looking for an episode of the Children's Book Podcast, and you've found it. Hooray! But you're probably wondering why the name of the podcast has changed. After 8 years of doing the Children's Book Podcast, I began a new career as head of podcasts at A Kids Company About, where I now oversee a podcast network dedicated to producing original content that talks up to kids, centers the things going on in their world, and engages and challenges how they see the world and themselves. All of the episodes of the Children's Book Podcast are still here, but now, if you're subscribed, you'll get new episodes of Worth Noting, a kids podcast about current events, hosted by me. Something for you and the young people in your life to enjoy together. Enjoy this episode, and I hope you'll check out Worth Noting and other podcasts from A Kids Company About. Meet Sylvia Call. Wait, better yet, meet Arthur.
Hi, my name is Arthur. I wrote the book, and it's a deep, deep grave. My mom will tell you about it.
Welcome to All the Wonders, the Children's Book Podcast. I'm Matthew Winner. This is episode number 378 of the podcast with Sylvia Call, mother of Arthur Call, author of Into the Deep, Deep Brave. Arthur is 3 years old, and words come more easily to him than many children you know. Arthur has ASD, Autism Spectrum Disorder, and is also gifted with hyperlexia, a condition that allows him to absorb and retain words at a much higher rate than you or I. All of that goes into Arthur's brain, and at some point around the age of 2, poetry started coming out. But I'll let Arthur's mom tell you all the details. Enjoy the listen. Here's episode number 378 of the podcast with Sylvia Call and Arthur Call. Welcome to the podcast, Sylvia Call. I'm glad that I get to talk to you tonight.
I am really excited to be here. Thanks for inviting me, Matthew. This is awesome.
Wow. Saying it's awesome when we're only like seconds in? This is so exciting. I love it. I came to know you in a really unique way, and I want the listeners to be able to discover that while we chat. So I am going to first introduce this wonderful book that we're here to talk about, but then, as the author's mother, I'm going to let you introduce really the book and this special guy behind it, okay?
Absolutely.
So yay. So, first, credit to Laura Chauvin of the last fifth grade of Emerson Elementary, a wonderful novel in verse that everyone should check out. She is a local friend of mine here in Maryland, and we were out having coffee and talking about Nerd Camp, and she said, I have this book that I need to show you, which so many of us teacher people do. You're a teacher, you know this. We love to share.
Right, absolutely.
Only not often does a friend share with me something that so readily impresses me, blows my mind, takes me off my feet. Then this wonderful book that I was shared called Into the Deep, Deep Brave. So, Sylvia, could you please tell us a little bit about this author, Arthur, and your relation to him?
Absolutely. So Arthur is my son, as you mentioned, and it's kind of a weird situation. Arthur, when Matthew approached me about doing this interview, I was like, I don't know how well it's going to work with Arthur, because at this juncture, he kind of imitates voices from Peppa Pig on the phone. So I'm not sure how far we're going to get with Arthur doing the interview, because he's 3 years old. So here's the backstory. Arthur was diagnosed on the autism spectrum when he was about 2.5. So like last June. And at that point, he was completely nonverbal. He didn't speak at all. We knew that he could spell and he could read because he could phonetically sound things out, and he knew what those words meant. Like he would see M-O-M, and he could go M-A-M, and he would like gesture towards me. So he could read at that point, but I, for whatever reason, we didn't think that was strange. That was just kind of Arthur. So that was just kind of like everyday life for us. And it was, you know, kind of simple phonetically spelled words. And then a few months after his diagnosis, he just spontaneously began speaking in almost complete sentences. And it was like, the bus is driving quickly by the window. And, you know, the prior week he hadn't spoken at all. So it was kind of, we were kind of racing to catch up. And then at that point, he just started spontaneously reading. And it's not like, I know I'm an English teacher, so a lot of people are like, you probably just sat and taught him how to do this. And I swear to you, I did not sit with him with like a blue Warner grammar notebook and force him to practice how to read. I really didn't, honest to God. But he just started reading. He just started picking books up off the shelf and reading them. And they, you know, they were like fresh to him books. It wasn't like, you know, he was memorizing these books and he, you know, he could just kind of recite it. He was like reading, like really, really reading. And, you know, it was around this time that he just kind of started like putzing around the house, and he would say some of the oddest, like sometimes most profound little things. And I would tell my husband when he got home from work, or I would like share something on my social media, like, hey guys, check it out. My 2-year-old just said this. This is crazy.
Here is Arthur reading some of his poems.
I am everything. I am change. Infinity deep wave. Stars are bright, really bright. Sky is so high. Diamonds and dinosaurs. We stood on the shore and we're at the sea. Free from a cage and brave.
This is better poetry than I could ever write. This is so cool. Look at this. And it kind of blossomed from there. A lot of my friends were like, oh, that's kind of cool. That's really awesome. You should record all of these and put them in a book. How cool would that be? Like Arthur's own poetry book. So we did. And here we are.
Here we are indeed. You, what grades do you teach? You said you teach high school, correct?
Right. I teach high school. This year I'm doing a freshman class and a 12th grade literature class. So yeah.
And you swear that these books you read were not, you weren't taking home books from high school to like read to baby in utero.
Right. I mean, you know, we were reading like The Great Gatsby while he was incubating in there. But, you know, I don't know how much of Fitzgerald he processed. But yeah, it was just kind of Arthur on his own, like just picking up a book and just starting to read it. And it was like, hey, our 2-year-old just read that book. Did you catch that?
Yeah. I say that older things because, of course, when they're in utero, read whatever you want. It's all getting used to the voice and the rhythm of language and all of that. So I'm sure that Arthur has constantly been absorbing all of the conventions of our language. But I remember thinking of him as 3. I have a 2-year-old, and I just remember from both my 7-year-old and my 2-year-old when they were just bumps. I remember reading Harry Potter to the bump with my wife, and just having that moment of being together, and yet going like, oh my word, we're reading Half Blood Prince to our to a bump. But the things that Arthur writes that you've written down, that you've captured in this book of poetry, as you said, they are profound. Sometimes they're humorous, and sometimes I found myself quite taken aback And I want to share a couple that I'll read, but you so kindly recorded Arthur as well. So people listening will hear that wherever we end up dropping it in this recording. So I can't wait for Arthur's voice to be heard as well. But if you don't mind, Sylvia, I'm going to share a couple that I like. And then if you have some too, by all means, here is the title, or the poem that the book gets its title from. It reads, "I am everything. I am change into the deep, deep brave." And then, quite close to it in that book, you have, "Come on, you guys, watch out. It's a quesadilla." Those are my two favorite. I love it.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome.
Oh, wait, but you also have, here's another one. I'm flipping through my phone. I have a couple ready at hand. "Never, I will never hide a hot dog up in the sky or in outer space. So cold."
Right.
Love it. You
right.
So, go ahead, please.
I was just going to say, we were, you know, my husband and I were just kind of just delighted and awed and taken aback by how gorgeous and how profound some of them are. And then, you know, like the "watch out, you guys, it's a quesadilla." And, you know, just kind of living the life, like, like hearing Arthur, because, you know, he's saying this in his little teeny tiny 2-year-old voice as he's just kind of hopping around the house in his pull up. And it was just, it was sometimes so bizarre to hear these things come out of his little mouth. It was just, it was, I don't know. It was kind of amazing.
I think it's totally amazing. Are you kidding me? My daughter is singing, you'll know this, hopefully every person that's a parent will know exactly what I'm about to say, but my daughter is singing all the time in ways that my son didn't. She just constantly sings, and we sing melodies, and she just picks them up. It's amazing. My wife is a music teacher, so her head is just full of songs, but I sing stuff all the time too. But she has locked into Daddy Finger. You know, Daddy Finger, where are you? Oh, yeah. There are times in the car when we have to sing for an hour, Daddy Finger, to calm her down. And we will go through, you know, Chicken Finger and Cow Finger and Uncle Finger and everything. And she just sings and sings and sings. And it's the most beautiful thing, I think, for any parent to see language develop. So for you to see language develop on this scale, I think all the things that you've done are exactly normative for parents. You record what they say. You share it on Facebook. You say, "Isn't this awesome?" Only the way that you were able to pull all of this poetry together is that you actually you self-published it. You had an illustrator come in and add some illustrations throughout, some just ink drawings that are really wonderful, especially the hot dog one. I'm going to pull back to the hot dog one. But you made this book. So can you talk me through that process of when you got the idea of, hey, maybe we really should actually print these up, and what that looked like and where you proceeded? Because it's not often, I should put it this way, as gently and respectfully as I can. First, it's not often that I talk to self-published people on this podcast, but because second, often I feel like the self-published books are lacking in some way. They're missing the polish or the charm or the editing that often comes with traditionally published books. That's not to say that there aren't good self-published books, just that I think self-publishing is so readily available that sometimes perhaps people miss a step or two before the book maybe is in its best form to come out into the world. And yet here is this book that you've gathered together that's beautiful. So walk me through it, buddy. Can you talk me through how this all started?
Yeah, I can. So, you know, like I said, you know, like any parent, and, you know, Arthur was our first child. So it was all these like first, like, oh my gosh, he's finally talking. Oh my gosh, he's reciting crazy, amazing poetry. Let's share that with the world. This is super cool. So, you know, I would, like a glowing mother, share it on my newsfeed, share it on my Facebook, tell my husband, tell our friends, like, hey, check this out. Listen to this video of Arthur, like, saying these crazy, funny, amazing things. Check it out.
Want to hear a couple more? Of course you do. Sylvia works with Arthur to share some more poems with us. Keep in mind, he's 3 and may not be used to speaking on recording.
Never! I will never. Hide in a hot dog. Up in the sky. Outer space. So cold. It is dark. The light is strange. And the wheel is set. It was driving out. I feel kind. And the whistle and paint.
And you know, at that point I had several people say, "Hey, these are really good." Like, this is cool. Like, you've got something here. This is kind of atypical. You should do something with this. Maybe you could kind of get a collection of them if he keeps doing this and you can get enough of them, collect them and do a book. And, you know, at that point, I talked to a friend of mine who is an illustrator, and she was like, I would love to do that. These are the craziest, most bizarre and beautiful things I've ever read. This would be fabulous. I would love to illustrate a hot dog in outer space. Who wouldn't want to do that?
I mean, really.
So yeah, I kind of talked it over with, her name is Molly McGuire, and she's this fabulously talented illustrator and artist, and she just did an amazing job. She just, you know, and I should say that Molly has a daughter, and she had a toddler at the time and was like 8 months pregnant while she was doing all of this and running her own business. So I'm like, Molly, you are crazy. But she did. She would just kind of at like random intervals, she would just send me this big block of illustrations and say, "Hey, I had some time to sit down. What do you think of these?" And they, you know, they're all in the book, every single thing she sent me, because I just fell in love with them. I thought, these are fabulous. So I just kind of went with it. I just, once Molly had sent me what she was able to get done, because she was literally sending me illustrations like 2 days before she delivered her child.
Oh, so, my goodness.
Yeah. And, you know, at that point, I'm like, okay, Molly, you're done. You're in labor. Please stop sending me things. You've got to stop. Focus on you for a little bit. But yeah, so once she had sent all of the illustrations, I just kind of sat on my little school laptop and kind of put it all together in Microsoft Word, and, you know, spent some time just trying to make sure that all of my margins looked good and were kind of even. And I'm like, yes, thank you, old high school yearbook job. Like, let's kind of make sure our gutters look okay. But yeah, it was kind of all just done in the dark, like as my daughter was asleep beside me. And I'm trying to like type very quietly and get everything on there and make sure it looks okay. But yeah. Yeah.
So one thing that I love to talk about with poets that are on the show, because I hadn't heard it until I heard it from a poet, was about the white space that poetry leaves for the reader. And you've got so much room on this page. I feel like, I'm sure Arthur talks all the time. You could have filled this with 3,000 poems if you wanted to and just stacked them all. But so wisely, you allowed one poem to handle its own page, to exist, to take up its own space there. And I feel like it gives room for the poems to have that weight. I feel like there's so many things in Arthur's life that all lined up in such a beautiful way to allow this to happen. I was complimenting you before recording about just what a good mom, and I'm sure your husband is as well, to be a parent to this child, to surround him with language and with opportunity that he will, I'm sure, appreciate one day. He, I'm sure, now is even aware that that's his name in this book. That is his thing. So to be able to do that is just something exceptional. But I want to make sure that I compliment you and that you hear it, that the layout that you pulled together this book works really well, especially for showcasing that profound insight that's in his work.
Thank you. That's nice to hear. I kind of toyed with some different layouts and some different formatting, but in the end it was kind of like, well, the poems themselves, most of them are very short because, you know, he was 2.5 when he was doing them. So they're very short, and And some of them are just very profound, and they've got kind of this sweet simplicity to them. And I didn't want to convolute the pages by cluttering them up. So I thought, I'm just going to let the words speak for themselves, because that's, you know, that's Arthur.
Yes. The company you used to publish the book, how did you determine who would print, how many you would get? Like, what was that? Can you walk me through those logistics? Because you invested in your child, in this thing that brings another part of him to life. All of this is blowing my mind.
So I'm going to be completely honest. I didn't do a whole lot of research into self-publishing. I knew from a friend who had done a book on, he's a librarian in Jackson, and he had done a book just for the heck of it, for his library, on CreateSpace, which is kind of like a subsidiary of Amazon. And, you know, I don't know a ton about Amazon, but I know that I like Amazon Prime a lot, and I know that it worked out really well for his, and he said it was very user friendly, and, you know, so I went with what he recommended without doing a ton of research, and it worked out really well. Librarians are really intelligent people, Matthew. I'm sure you know that.
Hey now. So I like hearing that.
Right. So yeah, I just used CreateSpace, which is kind of a byproduct of Amazon. So it just kind of walks you through the process, and you don't pay anything up front. It's kind of nice. It's nice.
So how do you handle, or probably, I probably know the answer to this, but how do you handle, for example, when there are book launches for more traditionally published books, you get to go to the bookstore, the author's there, they'll sign your copy. I'm sure that there are people finding this that are like, oh, I would love to just have Arthur sign it. Do you have friends that are like hitting you up on Facebook going, listen, I'm coming over, bring the boy in a Sharpie, I want him to sign my book. Is that like a thing that's happening? Is it weird? Is it weird because he's three and they're like asking for his autograph?
It's a little weird, a little humbling. I'm like, oh, you guys weren't here to see us. You were here to get Arthur's autograph. Hey, nice to visit with you. But yeah, I mean, that really truly has been happening. People are just coming over to the house with like their copies of the book that they got on Amazon, and they're like, hey, do you think Arthur could sign this for me?
That
and
he
actually hates writing. Like, oh, he hates using pens. It's not his thing at all. He likes to type, but that's unfortunately not an option. So, but he's being a good sport about it. So he's got his little scribbly scrawly signature in some of them. So yeah, absolutely.
Wait, can I make a suggestion?
Of course.
You could have him write his name on something, and you can scan it, and you could get a stamp made of it. Then he could just stamp people's books.
See, librarians are geniuses. That's brilliant.
I have been to a bunch of, well, here's the other thing. The thing that I'm like, okay, when I'm a published author, this is what I'm going to do. I have two friends that have like those, like they got those, like, you know, those like notary stamps.
Yeah.
So I have a couple books that are stamped like that with like a raised, oh my word, I'm getting chills thinking about it. But, and then they've signed beside it. But I have had friends that have stamped their books, stamp their signatures in books. And I feel like that is an awesome solution. And it gets kids love when things are signed. And that then allows, like, you can stamp bookmarks, you can stamp whatever. Now, I'm not saying that Arthur's like going on a book tour and he needs to sign a million billion things, but a stamp for a 3-year-old might be a good solution.
That is kind of brilliant, Matthew. That's on my to-do list now. That's awesome.
But he only has to sign one time.
Right.
As long as it's with the right marker to scan it.
Yeah, right.
It's only one time. Okay, so in the back of the book, you have a photo of Arthur and just a little bit about him. And you mention this term. Well, first you say wordsplosion, which I think is awesome. anyone willing to wordsmith like that, I'm down. But you mention hyperlexia. Is it hyper? Am I saying that right?
Yeah, you are.
This idea of words coming to you, developing to you much, much faster than others. So Tell me a little bit more, either about hyperlexia or about if it has affected the way that you have been raising Arthur in any way, knowing that, okay. that this boy has like a craving for words.
Right, right. So, you know, I had never, and you know, this is my 11th year teaching, but I had never ever heard of the term hyperlexia.
No,
that was
neither.
A first for me. Right, right. But you've heard of dyslexia, right?
Of course. And for some reason, I didn't even connect the antonym there.
I didn't
read
either.
Hyperlexia,
I
and my brain stuck on hyper, and I was like, hyper, okay, fast. It didn't. It took a while for me to get back to dyslexia. Yes.
Yeah. Same here. Same here. So they affect the same part of the brain, but in obviously an opposite manner. So hyperlexia was kind of first talked about and published in the 60s, and you know, there's still not a ton out there about it. A lot of, you know, a lot of educated professionals who work with kids don't know about it. I didn't know about it until Arthur. But hyperlexia is kind of defined as a precociousness with words, not necessarily verbalizing, but this like precociousness with being able to read at exceptionally early ages. And if there's a really cool video, I didn't put it together, but another mother who has a son with hyperlexia did. And if you go to YouTube and type in hyperlexia is, there's a little video, and it actually, like, the screenshot is like a picture of Arthur like spelling his name out in Play-Doh when he's like, I don't know, like, I think like 18 months or something. But these kids are just crazy, crazy cool. A lot of them are on the autism spectrum. About like 6 to 15% of kids with autism spectrum disorder also have hyperlexia. So a lot of these kids are like phenomenal readers, or they're insanely talented with like knowing every single state and its capital, or like Arthur can recite the alphabet backwards without pausing, and he can recite the president's from, you know, Washington all the way through without pausing to think. So they've got these crazy kind of splinter skills. And some of them have, you know, different levels of autism. So it's just interesting how this, I don't want to call it a disorder really, because it's kind of like a superpower almost.
It's incredible. Yeah.
Yeah. It's, I mean, they can do these things that I could never do.
And he's three. Yeah. It brings up to me that thought constantly of there is so much we don't know about the brain. I grew up knowing that, like, for as vast as space is, we know more about space than we do the deepest, you know, trenches of the ocean. And yet we can go further and say we know more about all those things than we do about the brain. That it's such a complex organ, and that what we call disorders, or what before have been called things that are really not respectful to the individual, end up being more and more common. All these nuances, how different all of us really are. It's an amazing thing. And you bring up that 6 to 15%. I can tell you for sure that I have known students that have had hyperlexia to some degree, because of knowing that I've taught kindergarten and first graders that have a profound handle on the English language, being able to read books that are, it becomes that struggle of, I know that this book, the content of this book is not appropriate for your age, but the
right.
level of the lexile is completely appropriate for your reading level. I'm sure that is something that will continue to be something that you and your husband focus on as you raise him, that he's able to read stuff well beyond his age, but then the appropriateness of that content will be what's called into question.
Right. It was kind of funny that earlier you mentioned reading, you know, Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince while your child was incubating. He periodically will just pull books. He's pulled down like Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban, and he'll just start reading it. And
can we just stop and note that your son pulls the best Harry Potter off the shelf? Well done, Arthur.
He's got good taste.
Azkaban's the best one. In my opinion, but you know, go ahead. No, but please, he just pulls off stuff. So you need to be careful what's on the low shelf.
Oh, I know, right? We've kind of like culled the bookshelf to make sure that, you know, like J.D. Salinger is kind of on the top shelf for now.
Yeah, for now.
Yeah.
I love it. What makes me excited seeing this, and I'm sure having lived with your son for 3 years now, and thought about this more, what makes me so excited is just the way he will inevitably develop, that he's gone from these like three line stanzaed poems that are beautiful to who knows what else he will explore just by being exposed to it. I imagine the world of poetry even that's there if he ends up loving language as it functions in poetry, to see what he will do that way. It's all possibility. I'm so excited for you because of the possibility that this offers him in his life, and how exciting it is. Despite I know I don't want to take away from, I know that there are challenges, but I'm glad that you can also see the beauty that is in him. That was cheesy. Right. There's so much beauty in him. You know this. You're his mom.
No, that wasn't cheesy. What in the world am I saying? That was incredibly sweet and profound and insightful. And yeah, I agree. It's just, you know, there are days that are a lot easier than other days. I'll say it that way. But really, I mean, we're honestly very lucky. He's really a chill guy, and he's so easy to get along with. And then he's just got this amazing gift that no one really understands, but he, you know, he kind of shares it with us, and it's just this little piece of magic that we get to glimpse, which is kind of amazing.
It's totally amazing. I'm so grateful that your son shared this gift with you, and that you shared his gift with all of us. I'm grateful for that. I want to respect our time, but I also want to let you know that I'm going to keep watch on this boy. If he ever has any more books coming out, I'm so excited that already at three, he has the love of language as he does, and that he has parents that love him and are able to help him express this language to all of us in that way. Thank you. Thank you, Sylvia, for giving all of us that gift as well.
Absolutely. You're so welcome. And I'll tell Arthur you said thank you.
Oh, please tell Arthur.
He's in bed right now.
Thank you. Oh, that's so sweet. We'll have to Skype with video sometime, and we can have the toddlers, or whatever we call them at 2 and 3, meet. I know my squish would love to meet more kids on phones and on devices. That's
oh, absolutely.
Well, on that note, let me ask you the question that I share with all my guests, and I'm excited to have you be able to address them in that way. So anyway, tomorrow I'll see a library full of children, and I would love to know, Sylvia, what you think, Arthur, what message you would like to share with them.
I think that is such an awesome, awesome question. And it's so fun for this because, you know, I think Arthur would, and I think the takeaway from all of this is that Arthur would say to them, anyone can tell a story. Anyone can write. Everyone has something to say. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how young you are. Everyone has a voice, and everyone has something to say. So say it.
The podcast is recorded and produced by me, Matthew Winner, in my library studio in Ellicott City, Maryland. You can subscribe to the podcast and access the archive of over 350 episodes at All the Wonders, a home for readers to discover new books and to experience the stories they love in wondrous ways. Go beyond the book at allthewonders.com and check out other podcasts from All the Wonders, including the Picture Booking Podcast with Nick Patton, a semi-weekly podcast about picture books and the people who make them. And Books Between, a podcast hosted by Karina Allen, helping to connect kids ages 8 to 12 and their parents, teachers, and librarians with the books they'll love. Our theme music is by Emily Arrow. All views and opinions expressed on the show are those of the individuals, myself included, and do not reflect any ideas or viewpoints of the publishers of the books referenced. Listeners, if this episode connected with you, I'd love to hear it. Leave a comment on allthewonders.com or rate the podcast on iTunes or Stitcher through stars or reviews. Sharing the podcast with friends through Facebook, Twitter, word of mouth, or any other means helps reach more listeners, which leads to more content and more amazing guests. And that's a very good thing indeed. Coming up on the podcast, Mike Curato shares All the Way to Havana, written by Margarita Engel, and Little Elliot Fall Friends, written and illustrated by Mike. See you then, and thanks for listening. We know you value what you put in front of your kids, especially when it comes to screens and podcasts. That's why we're excited to share a new podcast from our friends at Sleepiest, creating bedtime stories to help your kids fall asleep fast.
Hello, Abby here. If you've got children and find bedtime's a struggle, I'd like to tell you about Coco Sleep, a children's story podcast designed to make bedtime a dream. Coco Sleep turns a chaotic bedtime into cozy bonding time. The stories are delivered in a pace that gently slows. Rumour has it that no one's ever heard an ending. So search Coco Sleep on your favourite podcast app and let's make bedtime a dream. That's K-O-K-O Sleep and I'll see you there.